Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is found in Paul's letter to the Galatians, the first chapter. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Wisconsin is no stranger to lighthouses. More than 50 of them dot the shores of Lake Michigan. And while most of them are no longer active or functioning, they did at one time serve a very important purpose for the booming shipping industry on Lake Michigan. They kept those ships from wrecking. In a way, that's the purpose of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul had traveled throughout this region of Galatia, and he had shared the good news of the gospel. He had proclaimed that Jesus had done everything for those Galatians. He had fulfilled the law. He had died to take away all of their sins, and he had risen to prove that God's plan of salvation was complete, that heaven was waiting for them, that these Galatians had been called to freedom, and the people accepted the message with great joy. They eagerly believed it. But then Paul had to leave. And soon after Paul left, others came in proclaiming a different message, a different gospel. And this other gospel, as Paul calls it, was so dangerous that it was threatening to shipwreck their faith. This was a matter of life or death, and so Paul writes to them. For the next 6 weeks, we are going to explore Paul's letter, and today we are going to see very clearly that in order to enjoy the freedom to which they had been called, to which we have been called, there is no other gospel. Paul, an apostle not from men nor through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all of the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. When you read Paul's letters, you get used to a pattern that he uses quite often. He'll start by identifying himself, and then he usually has some friendly remarks, and then that follows up with some praise or thanksgiving for something that's currently happening or has happened to the group that he's writing to. And so when we read this letter to the Galatians, it jumps out at us that most of that stuff is missing. We find no friendly remarks. We find no thanksgiving or praise. Instead, Paul gets right into it. He jumps right into the point, and he starts by laying out his qualifications. Now, why would Paul have to qualify himself? Why does he need to do that? Well, it seems that some who had come to those congregations in Galatia were calling his qualifications into question. And so Paul says, I am an apostle. And I'm not an apostle who was assigned by men or chosen by men, but no, I am an apostle directly from God himself, called by Jesus himself. And not only were these opponents of Paul calling his qualifications into question, but they were also calling his message into question. And we see that very clearly. If you jump ahead to verse 10, Paul says, am I now seeking the favor of people or of God, or am I striving to please people? What was being implied is that Paul was simply preaching this message of the gospel, this free and full forgiveness, in order to try and please people. He was just trying to be popular. Well, if people started believing that, how damaging that would be to the gospel. And so Paul needs to nip this in the bud right away. This is not his message, he says. This is not coming from men. This is divine. This is not for popularity. This is God's message. This is from the same God who raised Jesus from the dead. This is from the same Jesus who died, who gave himself for our sins to pluck us out of this present evil age, who freed us from our slavery to death in the world and sin. This is the message that Paul had shared with them. The message of Jesus, and this is the message that they had received so joyfully initially. But something happened. Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another gospel at all. There are, however, some who are trying to disturb you by perverting the gospel of Christ. Paul can hardly believe the reports that he's been hearing. He's astonished at how fickle these people are. How could they give up the good news of the gospel for something else, and how could they do it so quickly? So what was so appealing about this different gospel, which Paul says was not a gospel at all? How were these opponents of Paul perverting the gospel of Christ? Well, Paul doesn't really go into it here in our verses this morning, but we find out from the rest of the letter exactly what was happening. These opponents of Paul were not denying Christ. They were not rejecting Christ. They weren't opposed to Christ at all. But what they were doing is they were saying that in order to truly obtain what Christ had done, they needed to keep the Old Testament laws. What they had really done is they had added law to the gospel. Now, were these Old Testament regulations bad? Of course not. God himself had given those regulations to the people as good things. They were commanded by God, but their purpose had now been fulfilled. They were no longer necessary to be kept because Jesus had fulfilled them. Was it wrong for people to keep doing those things, to keep fulfilling those Old Testament laws? No, not at all. What was wrong was making them necessary for salvation. What was wrong was attaching conditions to the gospel that needed to be kept. Is this still a problem today? Absolutely. We don't call it Old Testament regulations, we call it moralism. Moralism has a great weapon that it tempts us with, and it's not tempting us with evil. Moralism tempts us with good. You see, we're tempted to make up our own rules that we think that good Christian people should do, and somehow equate doing those things that we've made up, those special rules that we've made up for ourselves, we equate that with doing God's will. And so what we've done is we've changed. We've changed the standard from keeping God's Ten Commandments, God's law, perfectly, and we've lowered the bar to keep the laws that we've made up for ourselves. And we think that if we keep the rules that we've made up, that we're somehow meeting God's expectations. Then we can actually keep the commandments. And our sinful nature loves that. Our sinful nature is drawn towards that because now we think that we're contributing. Now we believe that we get some of the credit. And even Christians like us who confess that we are saved by grace alone, that we are saved by God's undeserved love alone, are tempted to believe moralism's lie, that what was begun by the Spirit can be finished by the flesh. But there's one problem with that. Even when we lower the standard, God's standards haven't changed. And soon we come to realize that we're not even able to keep up the rules that we made up. Never mind keep God's perfect law perfectly. And if we buy into moralism's lie that if we just try harder, if we just put in more effort, that we'll be able to accomplish this, pretty soon all we're left with is a mountain of guilt that threatens to crush us. Friends, God does not ask us to contribute to salvation. There is no other gospel than the one that Paul preached, where we could never hope to jump over the bar of God's perfect standard. God climbed down over the bar to reach us. And in the person of Jesus, God put us on his own shoulders and he carried us across the raging floods and storms of sin and death and the devil's temptation to rely on ourselves to try and contribute to salvation. Jesus is the one who's done it all. But just like those false teachers in Galatia, moralism wants to add an addendum to the gospel. Moralism says it's not Jesus has done it all. Pretty soon it becomes there's something that you have to do after all. And when we buy into that lie, at a minimum, the joy and the hope of a Christian life is gone. And it can be much, much worse. If we buy into moralism's lie, we can shipwreck our faith. And that is why Paul is so forceful in the beginning of his letter here. He's so adamant in the opening verses. He says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven would preach any gospel other than the one preached to you, a curse on him. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone preaches to you any gospel other than the one you received, a curse on him." But Paul can't be more serious. Anything or anyone that takes the focus off of Christ and what he has done should be cursed, should be damned to hell. That's the force of what Paul is saying here. So dangerous and so deadly is this perversion of the gospel, this mixing of law and gospel, that eternal death in hell is the only proper punishment. Friends, God has called us to freedom. This means that we get to serve God by doing his will, to say thank you to him, not to try and earn his favor, not something that needs to be met in order to acquire salvation. The grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ with which Paul began this letter is what allows us to serve God in freedom. This is why Jesus came, to redeem us, lost and condemned creatures, to purchase and win us from all sin, from death and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. And all this he did so that we could be his own, so that we could serve him in his kingdom. That's the truth of the gospel. There is no other message, no other gospel which gives us that freedom. And it's that freedom which allows us to serve God wherever he has placed us. There's no prescribed list of things that we have to accomplish in order to be a good Christian. There's not a big long list of rules that we have to do in order to do good works. We serve God as we carry out the roles he's given us, motivated and empowered by his grace in our lives. May the Lord help us never to abandon the gospel. Never to abandon the gospel for the lies of moralism, for there is no other gospel. And heaven help me that I never pervert the gospel by adding to it. And may God, in his wisdom, preserve the preaching of the gospel at this place until he comes again. Amen.